We're starting Chapter 8 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. And this is called the Quidditch World Cup. So it's nighttime, and they, all this, like, some lanterns started going off, or fireworks or something started going off. And they just took off. Clutching their purchases, Mr. Weasley in the lead, they all hurried into the wood, following the lantern-lit trail. They could hear the sounds of thousands of people moving along them, shouts of laughter and snatches of singing. The atmosphere of feverish excitement was highly infectious. Harry couldn't stop grinning. They walked through the woods for 20 minutes, talking and joking loudly, until at last they emerged on the other side and found themselves in a shadow of a gigantic stadium. Though Harry could only see a fraction of the immense gold wall surrounding the field, he could tell that 10 cathedrals would fit comfortably inside. "Seats 100,000, said Mr. Weasley, spotting the awestruck look on Harry's face. "Ministry task force of 500 have been working on it all year, Muggle-repelling charms on every inch of it. Every time Muggles have got anywhere near here all year, they suddenly remembered urgent appointments and had to dash away. Bless them," he added fondly, leading the way toward the nearest entrance, which is... What's that? Yeah. He led the way toward the nearest entrance, which was already surrounded by a swarm of shouting witches and wizards. "Prime seats," said the Ministry witch at the entrance when she checked their tickets. "Top box, straight upstairs, Arthur, and as high as you can go." The stairs into the stadium were carpeted in rich purple. They clambered upward with the rest of the crowd, which slowly filtered away through the doors into the stands to the left and right. Mr. Weasley's party kept climbing, and at last they reached the top of the staircase and found themselves in a small box, set at the highest point of the stadium and situated exactly halfway between the golden goalposts. About 20 purple... What's that? Yeah, it really is, isn't it? About 20 purple and gilt chairs stood in rows here. And Harry, filing in the front seats with the Weasleys, looked down on a scene the likes of which he could never have imagined. 100,000 witches and wizards were taking their places in the seats, which rose in levels around the long oval field. Everything was suffused with a mysterious golden light, which seemed to come from the stadium itself. The field looked smooth as velvet from their lofty position. At the end of the field stood three goal hoops, 50 feet high, right opposite them, almost at Harry's eye level. And right across from Harry was a gigantic blackboard. Gold writing kept dashing across it as though an invisible giant's hand were scrawling upon the blackboard and then wiping it off again. Watching it, Harry saw that it was flashing advertisements across the field. "The Blue Bottle, a broom for all the family, safe, reliable, and with a built-in anti-burglar buzzer. Mrs. Scour's all-purpose magical mess remover. No pain, no stain. Gladreg's Wizard Wear, London, Paris, Hogsmeade." Harry tore his eye away from the sign and looked over his shoulder to see who else was sharing the box with them. So far it was empty, except for a tiny creature sitting in the second-from-last seat at the end of the row behind them. The creature, whose legs were so short they stuck out in front of it on the chair, was wearing a tea towel draped like a toga, and it had its face hidden in the hands. Yet those long, bat-like ears were oddly familiar. "Dobby," said Harry incredulously. The tiny creature looked up and stretched its fingers, revealing enormous brown eyes and a nose the exact size and shape of a large tomato. It wasn't Dobby. It was, however, an unmistakable house elf, as Harry's friend Dobby had been. Harry had set Dobby free from his old owners, the Malfoy family. "Did Sir just call me Dobby?" squeaked the elf curiously from between its fingers. Its voice was higher even than old Dobby's, a teeny quivering squeak of a voice, and Harry suspected, though it was very hard to tell with a house elf, that this one just might be female. Ron and Harry spun around in their seats to look. Though they had heard a lot about Dobby from Harry, they'd never actually met him. Even Mr. Weasley looked around in interest. "Sorry," said Harry to the elf. "I just thought you were someone I knew.
nose, Dobby, too, sir!
Squeaked the elf. She was shielding her face as though blinded by light, though the top box was not brightly lit.
My name is Winky, sir, and you, sir.
Her dark brown eyes widened to the size of side plates as they rested upon Harry's scar.
You surely is Harry Potter.
Yeah, I am, said Harry.
But Dobby talks about you all the time, sir,
she said, lowering her hands very slightly and looking awestruck. How is he? Said Harry. How's freedom suiting him?
Oh, sir,
said Winky, shaking her head.
Sir, I mean no disrespect, sir, but I'm not sure you did Dobby a favor when you set him free.
Why? Said Harry, taken aback. What's wrong with him?
Freedom's going to Dobby's head, sir,
said Winky sadly.
Ideas above his station, sir. Can't get another position, sir.
Why not? Said Harry. Winky lowered her voice by half octave and whispered,
He's wanting paying for his work, sir.
Paying? Said Harry blankly. Well, why shouldn't he be paid? Winky looked quite horrified at the idea and closed her fingers slightly so that her face was half hidden again.
House elf's not paid, sir,
she said in a muffled squeak.
No, 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 I say to Dobby, go find yourself a nice family and settle down. He's getting up all sorts of hijinks, sir, what is unbecoming to a house elf. You go racketing around like this, Dobby, I says, and next thing you know, you're up in front of the Department for the Regulation and Control of Magical Creatures, like some common goblin.
Well, it's about time you had a bit of fun, said Harry.
House elf's not supposed to have fun, Harry Potter,
said Winky firmly from behind her hands.
House elf does what he is told. I'm not liking heights at all, Harry Potter.
She glanced toward the edge of the box and gulped.
But my master sends me to the top box and I come, sir.
Why does he send you up here if he knows you don't like heights? Said Harry, frowning.
Master wants me to save him a seat, Harry Potter. He's very busy,
said Winky, tilting her head toward the empty space behind her.
Winky's wishing she is back in Master's tent, Harry Potter, but Winky does what she's told. Winky's a good house elf.
She gave the edge of the box another frightened look and hid her eyes completely. Harry turned back to the others. So that's a house elf, Ron muttered. Weird things, aren't they? Dobby was weirder, said Harry fervently.
Why don't we stop there, Boo? I love you so much, kitten. You're the sweetest girl ever, you know that? Yeah, you are. I can't wait to cuddle you up. I love you, Boo. Sleep well, kitten. I'll say goodnight to you on the recording first. I love you so much. I want you to sleep well. Good night, Boo.